Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
All right. You know, I'm always super excited when it's time for podcast recording, and right now, right here, it is that time. So welcome to another engrossing episode of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I am your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. And you know, I have to big up especially those of you who have tuned in for the very first time. Welcome to this amazing community. And of course, you know, welcome back to all of you who have been holding down the fort for all these many episodes. Bless up yourself. I love you. Thank you so much. You know that you rock, right? Now, today's guest has over 40 years of working with global brands and startups. But that's just a little teaser. Before we get on into it, you know how we do here. We have to make sure that we thank our sponsor. Yeah, man, money makes the mare go, right? So let's take a listen.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Welcome back. Well, of course, today's episode, it promises to be pretty much a masterclass in marketing fearlessly with none other than Randy Crane, affectionately known as the Fearless Marketer. With over 40 years of experience working with global brands and startups, Randy is a true expert in leadership, emotional marketing strategies, and delivering real value to customers. Let's make him welcome, Randy Crane. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I am so excited to be here.
I'm excited as much to have you. And we're looking today at fearless leadership in marketing, strategies for real value. But first, let's now ask my warm-up question, my icebreaker question. If your life were a marketing slogan, what would it be?
That's a great question. And I'm going to answer it the same way I answer it for the last 30 years. I help companies land clients faster than they can possibly imagine.
You have it ready. Your elevator pitch is like, that was even like my icebreaker questions has been knocking people out of the water, out of the park, right? They're like, oh my gosh, you know, but you had it just ready and ready to go.
I've been using that same elevator pitch for 30 years. And let me tell you, I have never once had somebody say to me, oh, that's interesting. What's the next person have to say? Everybody always says the same thing. They say, oh, can you tell me more about that? Oh, how can I work with you? That's what I get. That's a sign of a great elevator pitch.
Oh, Randy, can you tell me more about that? Tell us more about that.
Well, you know what? Finding the right elevator pitch, it's a process. What do you do? How do you do it? And what problem do you solve? That's it. You don't need to make it into a huge ordeal. Who are you? What do you do? How do you do it? And what problem do you solve? And if we just dissect mine for a second, you know, my name is Randy, so that's how you know who I am. Okay. And I help customers land clients faster they can possibly imagine. So what do? I help clients. And what problem do I solve? I help them find clients faster than they can possibly imagine.
Oh, it's as simple as that. Like, this sounds as though, Randy, we could just stop the conversation right here. Like, you've said it all.
Okay, well, listen, thanks very much for having me on your show.
And you are funny at that. What a great combination. No wonder your clients really, really stick with you. As we're talking before we started recording, you know, you've had a client for 30 years and that's interesting. Yes.
Well, you know, it is kind of interesting because, you know, when you think that the average marketing firm, they keep their clients for 3-6 months. My clients tend to stay with me for years. And I think it's mostly because of my dazzling personality. But aside from that, though, I think I really focus on getting results for my clients. Okay? You know, there's a conundrum between sales and marketing. Every customer out there, I don't care how big they are, they're all looking for the same thing. Everybody, whether you're a solopreneur or you're a major corporation, you're all looking for, everybody's looking for the same thing. Everybody wants more sales. Everybody wants more market share. Everybody wants the same thing. It's being able to identify what that thing is and servicing that need. Okay. You know, I think one of the biggest turnarounds for me in my life has been the change between going from a taker to a giver. Okay. I started off my career much the same as most people did. And, you know, it was all about, you know, how much money I could make. You know, I need more clients, need more money. Over the years, that kind of changed for me. Today, it's more about giving. I find that when I give more, I get more. But I get more automatically. It just comes. I don't have to work for it. And I think it really comes down to perspective on your business. I mean, I think, like I said, I probably got into business for the same reasons as most people did. You know, I want to make more money. And then once I figured that ship had sailed, well, then it went to something different. And today I look at my business, and after being 30 years in my own business, I can tell you firsthand that it's all about character. Okay. Not just the character you have, but being a character.
And you obviously are one.
And I do try my best. Yes.
So Randy, You mentioned personality before, earlier. And believe me, it's like you were reading my mind, because the question I had in mind for you before you even said that was, what does personality have to do with how you execute your function, you know, as a marketer?
You know what? It's so interesting you ask that question, because, you know, we're living in a day of AI. Okay, artificial intelligence is becoming the new buzzword in 2020. I mean, everybody's using ChatGPT or Bard or
Perplexity or whatever. Do you know about Perplexity, by the way?
I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I got introduced to that about 2 weeks ago.
Me 2 days ago.
Okay. It's much the same as everything else. You know, the quality of data you put in is the quality of data you get out.
Garbage in, garbage. Oh, that has not changed.
It does not change. And you see, ChatGPT, and I'm using ChatGPT as an example here. It doesn't know you. It's a machine. Okay? And people connect with people. They don't connect with machines. That doesn't mean to say that ChatGPT doesn't have a value. It has a value. Matter of fact, I use it quite frequently. You know, if I want to summarize a video, hey, you know what? I saw this video with a guy the other day, and hey, can you give me a summary of that? Great. It gives me a summary. If I needed to analyze data, it does that way faster than I can. But when it comes to me connecting with an audience, that has to be personal, okay? Human beings have the innate ability to be able to detect authenticity or fake. It's not something you say. It's not something you do. It's not even a smell. It's not even the look in your eyes. It could be just the shape of your forehead. It could be anything it is. But every human being has that ability to be able to sniff out the fake. People think that you can turn around and you can, and I get this from marketers all the time. You know, they send me emails and I can look at that email and I can tell you right away whether it was written by them or ChatGPT, because it's just not real. Okay. Hey, I can get you on the first page of Google and within 3 hours. Sure you can. I get those emails every day. So do you. So does everybody. But you don't pay attention to them. Why? Because they're not real. It's not authentic. So when I send an email to you, I say, hey, Hanneke, remember me? It's Randy Crane. You know, we spoke on such and such a date, and I really enjoyed my conversation with you. I'm connecting. Now, you see, you are in Jamaica. I'm in Toronto. We're like thousands of miles away from each other. But let me ask you a question. Do you feel the connection between you and I?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you want
it's a vibration. It's a vibration that transcends time and space. And to give your audience something to that they can really hang on to. You ever been out in a park and you feel like somebody's staring at you? And then you turn around and they are. You don't see them. You don't hear them. But you know they're there. You ever picked up the phone to dial a friend, and then when you pick up the phone, they're on the other line?
Sending a message to somebody, like you're about to send a message to somebody in WhatsApp, and then you're seeing Winsome is typing or whatever the name is typing, and like, oh my gosh, at the same time.
At the exact same time.
That energy, yes.
That's frequency. Mm-hmm. That's frequency. That's energy being transposed between one person and another. It transcends time and space. So when you're marketing, it's getting that connection. It's reaching that person at an emotional level. Okay? I've known you for maybe 10 minutes, but I really like you. I think you're a hell of a nice lady.
I like you too, actually.
See? This is what I'm talking about. It's that connection.
Absolutely. That you've made. Yes.
If your emails or your ads or your videos do not reach people on an emotional level, you're wasting your time. We live in an oversaturated market where everybody is vying for the same audience. You're in the same, whether you like to think it or not, you're vying for the same people as Amazon, the same people as Nike, the same people as Netflix. Everybody's vying for that person's attention. Why should I give you mine? Why should I give you my attention as a receiver? So that's the first question. Whenever I set up an email campaign, a marketing campaign of any kind, why should anybody give me a second of their time? What do I have of value that I can deliver? And this comes back to the difference between giving and taking. I give because I believe in delivering value. The more value I deliver, the more money I make. The more value I deliver, the more audience I get. The more value I deliver, the more customers I can service. This is the process with marketing. And there's no sense in understanding the data behind it until you have data that you can understand. If you can't deliver value, you don't have to worry about evaluating data. Your data will just be easy to figure out. All it is zero. But if you deliver true value, not your value, not what you think is valuable, but what the prospect thinks is valuable. So I hear this all the time, Hanneke. You know, people will say, oh, you know, I came up with a great lead magnet. It's going to get everybody's going to want to download this. They do up a nice ad and they put it out on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. And all of a sudden, it's crickets. Nobody wants it. The guy says to me, he says, well, you know, Randy, I don't understand. Why wouldn't they want it? Because it's your perceived value, not theirs. They have to perceive it as valuable, not you. Everybody's in a rush to close the sale, right? Got to close that sale today. Got to get it done. I don't work like that. So when I visit with a new client, my first objective here is to deliver great perceived value. I'll sit down and I'll get to know the customer a little bit and say, how are you doing? Well, do our break the ice kind of routine. And then I'll start asking them questions and I'll start delivering value based on the answers to those questions. And then at the end of the meeting, you'll say, well, Randy, what's all this marketing going to cost me? And I'll say, geez, you know what? Panic, I have no idea. I have no clue what this is going to cost. But why don't we set up another meeting for tomorrow? Maybe by then I'll have a better idea. So I get on another call and I ask him some more questions and I start delivering more value. So now at the end of the second meeting, he's saying, well, Randy, you know what? What is this going to cost me? Geez, you know what, Hanuk? I have no idea. But let's book one more meeting. And by then I'm sure I'll be able to figure it out. Okay. We go into the third meeting. What do I do in the third meeting? Same thing I did on the first and the second. Ask some questions, deliver more value. Now, by this point, we've had three meetings. I've delivered up. On a value to this guy. Now he's saying, Randy, just tell me how much to write the check for. I'm not in a rush to close the sale. I want him to feel that he's gotten something valuable from what I've, where he's to the point where he wants to work. And this is one of the reasons why my clients stay with me, is because I make sure that I'm always delivering superior value, their value, not mine. What I think doesn't matter. It's what you think that counts.
Absolutely. You talked a lot in the last couple of minutes about value.
Yes.
And real value, not just my perceived value as the marketer, but the client's value. Let's now move into some strategies for giving that real value.
How does one know what perceived value from a particular customer? Every human being in the world is emotionally connected to three things in life: their wants, their desires, and their problems. Every single person. Find out what the problem is. Solve the problem. You know, I see you're a fan of Russell Brunson, and I was on a seminar watching with him a couple of years ago, and they were talking about entrepreneurs. And I can't remember the name of the guy who was on the show, but he turned around and he said, an entrepreneur is a person who takes somebody else's problems and makes it their own. Now, you and I, let's face it, you know, it's not our first rodeo. You know, the word entrepreneur is a buzzword. Okay, well, I'm an entrepreneur. That means I'm in business. That's not what it means. What it means is that you're a person who takes somebody else's problems and makes it your own. That is a great marketer. That is a great salesperson. We've all heard the term, I could never be a salesperson because I don't have the gift of the gab. Okay. Great salespeople don't talk. Great salespeople listen. Great marketers don't talk. Great marketers listen. And what that means is that if I'm opening and I'm asking you questions and I'm getting answers from you and I'm asking really good quality questions, so I'm expecting really good quality answers. When I start asking those questions to people, the quality of the answers are going to allow me to be able to deliver the kind of value that you need. So my recommendation to people is talk to your audience. Talk to those people. Find out what their problems are. Now, that's all well and good if you can sit down face to face and talk to the person, but what if you can't? What if you're a digital marketer? Sit down with the product or the service that you're working with. And start making some notes. So I'll give you my practice. You know, I'll usually, when I get a client, I'll sit down with them and we'll talk about their product or their service. What is it you do? Tell me about your product. And they'll tell me about the product. I'll say, well, how does that product make you feel? Oh, and they'll tell me all about how it makes them feel, because how they feel about their product is going to be really important to how the customer is going to see it. How does it make you feel? You know, do you feel it here? Do you feel it here? Where do you feel? And then I'm making notes as we're going along. So if I'm going to sit down with some data, I'm going to look and I'm going to look at the product, whatever that product may be. And I'm going to start making a list, divide a piece of paper into two. One side, I'm going to list off some problems. What problems does this product solve? And then in the next column over to that, I'm going to start looking at how does that make me feel? If I had that problem, how would I feel? And then I'm going to start identifying what emotions drives that feeling. Because there's a difference between an emotion and a feeling. Okay? An emotion is something that can be changed. It can be altered. Okay? In order to change an emotion, all you got to do is to change your mind. A feeling is something much different. A feeling, you're trapped. You're stuck. Give you an example. Hanneke, have you ever been in love?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
So when you're in love, and you come into that feeling, you don't wake up the next morning and say, that was really nice last night. I really enjoyed being in love last night, but I got too much work to do today to be in love. You can't get out. It's that feeling stays with you. Much the same as when you go to a horror movie. You ever been to a horror movie and your body's just shaking?
No, I okay. Know that plague.
Tell your body to stop. Stop shaking. Can't. Why? Because you're stuck in that feeling. So how did you get into that feeling? Well, it was the ambiance of the movie. It was the sounds, the voices, that all of these things that drove you to that feeling. So I want to start understanding what emotions drives that feeling. And it could be tons of different emotions that go along with it. Now, on the other side of the page, I want to figure out what are the resolutions. If I have this problem and I solve the problem, what does my life look like? So what is the resolution? And how does that make me feel? And what emotions drives those feelings? See, once I know what the emotions are, then I can start writing copy. And I can start focusing that copy towards that person that I'm talking to. Now, this brings me to my next step, which is I do an avatar. Whenever I do a marketing campaign for any company, I always do an avatar. And what I'll do is I'll say, what kind of person would have that problem? Well, his name is Dave, and he lives in Kingston, Jamaica, and his wife is Susan, and they have two kids and a dog, and he does this for a living. He drives a forklift for a living, and she works as a nurse, blah, 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 and I go on, and I create this avatar centered around a specific problem. So that when it comes time for me to start writing copy for this person, I now have an intimate relationship with this person. Now, is Dave the only guy on the planet who has that problem? No. But if I could talk to Dave, I could talk to anyone about that same product, that same problem, that same resolution. So before I start writing copy, I'll even go after I've written the story, I'll go on the internet and I'll find a guy who looks like Dave and a woman who looks like Susan. And then I'll print that out and I'll put it on a piece of paper above my head so I can talk to those people. I create it. I create the environment for me to sell from. As opposed to in a sales capacity, the customer is setting that. So one of the reasons why, and this is a great habit for people to get into, talk to your person. And if you don't know who they are, make them up. It doesn't have to be a real person. And this is the beautiful thing about imagination. Okay, your imagination is a God-given gift to you, but most people don't know how to use it. Okay, learn to stay with your image of who that person is. Talk to that person, relate to that person, update your content about that person so that you get to know intimately who that person is. It makes it so much easier to talk to somebody you know than somebody you don't know.
Absolutely. Wow. Lots of insight there, Randy. Lots to take away. I'm going to wrap right now because you said a host of stuff and we are so appreciative of it. I want to find out though, you're known as a fearless marketer. Why? Yeah. What makes? In Jamaica, we say Womack.
Okay, so in 1993, Hanukkah, I was so broke. I mean, broke, you have no idea broke. Okay? I had a hard time because, you know what, clients, they just weren't coming to me as quickly as I needed them. And eventually, you know, back then we were all still on, the internet was just coming out. Nobody really knew what to do with it. So, of course, you know, the old tried and true, you know, the newspaper. And so I'd be looking for clients in the newspaper and looking for clients for the referrals and what have you. Anyways, I responded to this ad from a guy. His name was Weiss. German fellow. Very aggressive man. Not a nice guy, but his wife was very nice. And like I said, I was so broke at the time. You know, he could if it took a quarter to go around the world, I couldn't pay the fare. Anyway, he turned around. He said to me, he says, you know, I went in for an interview and I talked to him. And he said, he was looking for a junior marketer, someone to assist him. I said, well, I can do that. So he said to me, he says, I just want you to understand something. You know nothing. You're just a stupid kid. Didn't matter what he would say. You know what, he was going to pay me. So, okay, I'm in. So long and the short of it, I start working with him on his marketing campaigns. And his content is horrific, horrible. But this guy made a lot of money during the 50s and in mining. Made a ton of money. But he really liked advertising. So he'd say to me, he'd say, you know, what do you think of my advertising? I'd think, oh my God, man, like this is horrible stuff. He would send the copy over to the editor desk at the newspaper. And they would send them back notes saying, hey, man, you can't print this stuff. Okay? It's misleading. It's rude. It's we can't print this kind of language. And this went on for about 3 years. It got to the point where I couldn't stand it anymore. I said to him, I said, look, you know what, Liza? I got other clients, and as much as I like you and your wife, I said, you know, I just can't do this. It's too painful. Because he doesn't make any money. He just keeps throwing more money out. I said, why don't you let me take it over? And he says, no. He says, you're just stupid. You don't know anything. He says, you don't learn anything until you're 50 or over. He said, you're just a stupid kid. I said, I sat down with his wife and I said to her, I said, look, I said, if you can't convince him to let me do this, then you know what? I'm going to have to sever our ties. I said, it just isn't working. She said, let me talk to him. So she went back, she talked to him, came back to me and he said, okay, my wife convinced me to let you have a try, but he says, I'll make you a deal. And I said, what's that? He says, well, if this campaign fails, you pay.
Wow.
So I thought about it. I said, okay, if it fails, I'll pay. Okay. I mean, even if I got one sale, it would still be better than what he got. So I took the offer. I said to him, okay. I said, I think we probably spent in the first month probably about, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000, which back in the 90s was a lot of money. So he turns around, he says, okay. So I put together some new copy, put together the whole new campaign for him and resent it out. In the first 30 days, I think we sold about $4,000 or $5,000. Wow. Over 90 days, I think we sold about $30,000 or $40,000. I can't remember exactly. But he came back to me. And he said to me, he says, I guess you're looking for an apology from me. I said, no. He said, well, good, because you're not getting one. I said, all right. He says, well, look, he says, I will tell you this, though. He says, you'll never be called Randy again. And I said, oh. And he says, because you are the fearless marketer. He says, I'm just going to call you fearless from now on.
Wow.
And that's where it came from. I continued to work with Weiss until 2002. And in 2002, he passed away.
Wow. What's an interesting story. I'm glad I asked that question, actually, because it has given me chills and lessons to learn and all of these things, right? Randy, believe me, it has been a joy talking with you. Really a joy.
Oh, Hanukkah, it's been so nice talking to you, too. I love it.
Yes.
So I hope you have me back on your show again.
We are definitely connecting for more things and all of that stuff. So, yeah, you ain't going anywhere, brother.
Okay, good. Good to hear.
All right. So let's tell people where they can find you to learn more about you and your work, Randy.
You can reach me through my website at www.fearlessmarketer.com. Or you can drop me an email at randy@fearlessmarketer.com. I answer all my own emails. And or if you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, I'm on them all.
Okay, awesome. Randy Crane, what a pleasure it has been talking with you, for sharing your fearless insights on marketing and just, providing value, real value. Thank you so much, Randy, again. Such a
pleasure. Hanukkah, it's been a pleasure.
Yes. And my community, remember to connect with Randy to elevate your marketing strategies and stay tuned to the Entrepreneurial You podcast for more inspiring and educational stories. This is Hanukkah Watkins Porter saying, keep refining your skills and continue to connect with me, HanukkahWatkinsPorter.com, where you find the links to today's show notes and other episodes, blog posts, etc. Connect with us on social media. I'm there as Hanukkah Watkins Porter. And of course, if it is, I know you're a busy entrepreneur, right? You don't really have time to do a podcast. Maybe you've been thinking about it for so long. but you're wondering, oh my gosh, where am I going to find the time to do this? Well, that's where we come in, the Entrepreneurial You Media. Reach out to us and let us craft your podcast for you, from ideation straight through to marketing, right? All you have to do is show up. That's it. That's it. So reach out, HennikaWatkinsPorter.com. Send me a message on the WhatsApp, via WhatsApp. The icon is right on the page there. All right, so let's just affirm this before I run off. Huh? I am a visionary and a master of my craft, committed to leaving an indelible mark on the world through innovative and impactful marketing approaches. Yeah, man, I'm here to create real value. Do take care of yourself.